mentioned on a number of different occasions here, when we follow the lectionary, there's an Old Testament lesson, a New Testament lesson, and a gospel lesson, but there also is a psalm that is connected with each of the lectionary readings for any particular week. And so we're really going to be starting there. And the lectionary psalm for today is Psalm 23. And that is part and parcel because it isn't until verse 11, which our gospel lesson left off at verse 10. But in verse 11, Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23, the psalm about the Good Shepherd. And we're going to begin and have a focus on this phrase in the middle of Psalm 23 that says, "For thou art with me." For thou art with me, the title of our sermon. And so I'm going to read all of verse 4 from Psalm 23. The old King James says, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Father God in heaven, we thank you for all of these readings you've given us today and for this passage here and the gospel lesson. We thank you for the revelation of your Son as the good and the great shepherd for us. And we would pray, Lord God, that we would rest easy and rest well under the care and under the guidance and under the direction of our great and good shepherd. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 119, that final stanza there talked about straying sheep. Straying sheep need him. Suffering sheep need him. Dying sheep need him. Young sheep, old sheep, healthy sheep, rejoicing sheep. I hope you get the point. All sheep need him. He is their shepherd. The psalm opens, "The Lord is my shepherd." Psalm 23:1, that's how it begins. This theme of God being our shepherd is all over our scripture readings. It's particularly found in our New Testament lesson in 1 Peter and 2 and verse 23. He says, "You were like straying sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd of your souls." You've returned. Straying sheep. But straying sheep are not alone. He is the shepherd of all sheep, as our gospel informs us. And it introduces us to the shepherd. And again, the verse that follows our lesson is verse 11, where Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd. Look how verse 4 describes that he is the shepherd over all of his sheep. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him and they know his voice. All of them. He's leading them all and they go before them. And the sheep follow and they are ever dependent. No matter what their season in life, they are dependent. And he's always there for them. For he is with them. One of the reasons why shepherds were so despised in the ancient world is because they smelled. Shepherds stunk. Who needs this for company? The shepherds stunk. They smelled. Why did they smell? Why is it that they stunk? They smelled and they stunk because they smelled like their sheep. The shepherd's care had meant that there would be a great proximity and a touch and a carrying of a sheep and a lying down with the sheep. That proximity was ever there. And so we read from Psalm 23 and 4, "Thou art with me." A great characteristic of a shepherd is that he is with the sheep. What's more is that we are known by him. We are known by our shepherd. And take a moment to just course through Psalm 39 here. "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in, behind, before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain to it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." I really like verse 3 of that psalm. He is acquainted with all of our ways. He knows what's going on. And the he we're speaking about here is God. I'm an under-shepherd. But even as an under-shepherd, I know largely what's going on in your lives. But he knows everything about what's going on in your lives. I'm not Superman, and I'm not even the good shepherd, the great shepherd. He knows it all. I, as an under-shepherd, know what's going on with many of you. How much more does he know, the one who is acquainted with all our ways? Back in Psalm 23 and verse 4, we are first introduced to the valley of the shadow of death. And those who study the Hebrew here, they really struggle with how they should translate this this idea here that is translated for us, the valley of the shadow of death. It's very complex in the Hebrew. And certainly death qualifies as the valley of the shadow of death. But so do other situations. Some translate this verse to mean a valley of deep darkness, and others call it the shadowlands. I kind of like that, the shadowlands. These places where you're really a little bit out of sorts, and it's not good, and it's not fun, and it's not pleasant. It's anything that can bring insecurity and dread and fear into your life. It's a shadowland. "Yea, though I walk through the shadow lands, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Anything bringing insecurity, dread, fear, maybe it's a disease, maybe it's a divorce, maybe it's a bankruptcy, maybe it's a move, maybe it's a change of career. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. All of these are shadow lands. But in all of those places, in all of those shadow lands, every single one of them, thou art with me. Thou art with me. And so we're never alone. Now again, backing up, certainly death is a shadow land. Certainly death. Which, by the way, awaits every man. Certainly that is a shadow land. But I want to tell you this. I've heard at too many funerals that death is a veil that you must pass through alone. I've heard testimonials before they were deceased, from the deceased, while they were living, they will say, I know that I have to go through this alone. Now, while it is true that from an earthly and from a human perspective, you indeed pass alone. And you go through a shadow land. And all, every single one of those folks who have helped you along the way, earthly, from a human perspective, everyone who's been a guide, everyone who has loved you, everyone who has accompanied you, no matter how close they have been, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's an under-shepherd, maybe it's a mentor, maybe it's a brother, a sister, but every single one of them turn back and you go alone while you pass over. But I want us to remember that he not only leads, but that he is with you. See, we could just say that, oh, you know, I know that Jesus has gone on before us. He died and he rose again from the dead and he ascended and he's in heaven. He has led there on Easter Sunday. Now we saw where he has led, but there's still distance there. He's way out there and I have to go alone. No, 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 no. I mean, it is true that he's there, but it's also true that he is with us. And so you do not die alone. He not only leads, he is with you, the great shepherd of the sheep. And so fear not, as he says in other places, for I am with you. You guys have heard of Job, right? Job was someone who was very familiar with the Shadowlands. Look at Job in chapter 30 and verse 23. In Job chapter 30, in Job 29, he's rehearsing what a glorious, glorious life that he had while he was young, while he was healthy, while he was just at peak performance before God and serving God, and God made his steps like butter. But in chapter 29, he's just being dissed in every way a person can be dissed. He's in the shadow land of shadowlands. And then he comes to this verse. He says, for I know, he's speaking to God, I know that you will bring me to death. Yikes. Really, God? On top of all of this being dissed and all of this trouble that I have here, on top of all of these indignities that I have endured here during this severe trial of this shadow land. Now you're going to tell me that now it's the idea that I know that you will bring me to death. But I want us to know that this is good news. Even before we get to the last clause, you will bring me to death. You know, it's not going to be the disease that kills you. It's not going to be the accident or the injury or old age or your failing body. They may be mechanisms of sorts, but it is God who is going to bring you to death. He's going to be with you. And that's why, you know, in Sunday school when we had our healing service and we talked about this whole idea here that we cannot add 1 hour to our life. Job says, for I know that you will bring me to death. And don't miss this. And here's this great news. Not only is God with us in this horrible thing we call death, We're not going it alone. Not only is he with us there, I know that you will bring me to death and you will bring me to the house appointed for all living. That God's in charge of our resurrection into paradise. He brings us to both places. He is with us in that shadow lands from Psalm 23. And because he is with us, we can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. He is the one who does it. You bring me. You bring me to death and you bring me to paradise. Now, of course, there is more to life than our dying moments. There's living. There's living either in other shadow lands that we might have to endure. And the shepherd has all sorts of tools that he has dispensed and given to the church, and they're at his disposal. They're at really our disposal because he has given them to us. And so, by the way, if we look at our New Testament lesson here from Acts, it begins in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and it lists some of these tools that he has given to us to be used. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. There's a definite article in front of each one of these. And because it's not about these things happening at large, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching, not just some teaching. And to the fellowship. That's the church. You know, through the shadow lands here, God has given us the church to be a support one to another, something not to be neglected. And to the breaking of bread. This is not just food. This is the table. And to the prayers. The prayers is not just the idea of that you pray, you know, I can pray anywhere, anytime, but you know what, I never get around to it. It's the prayer meeting. Appointed prayers at appointed times. Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. You know, there was a conference I had the opportunity to attend about a year and a half ago now, and I refer to these four things as the bayonets for the battle. Bayonets because they're old school. We look at these four things here today and we say, boring, right? Or I don't need that because God is everywhere. But these are some of the tools that God, who wants to be with us and promises to be with us, has left at our disposal here to use. Think about bayonets and think about how old school they are. Surely we can do better than that in our weaponry, right? But bayonets have a place. And the thing about a bayonet is, you know what, unless everybody, or at least a critical mass, is affixing their bayonet, it's not going to be very effective. Think about it. You got a whole cast of people, and what if only one or two people affix their bayonet and they have a bayonet charge? I don't like the odds of that outcome. But if we have a critical mass and everybody affixes their bayonet, you can have a successful charge. Bayonets for the battle. Bayonets for the shadow land. And don't miss verse 46 here. Verse 46 says that, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they receive their food with gladness and generous heart. There is this idea how community really mattered. Back in John 10 in verse 4, the they and the them are plural pronouns because community matters. Community is a part of what the shepherd provides for us. He has brought out all of his own, and he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. But let's look more specifically at the shepherd's tools as we find them in Psalm 23 and 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, a club and a crook. Oftentimes we think of these as combined, and later on in history, perhaps that they were, but originally these were two separate items. The rod was carried in the belt to be pulled out. The rod was there to defend. You know, we think of the rod as, you know, that device in the Proverbs for spanking your kids. That's not what's in mind here. The rod is something that the shepherd would pull out to defend the sheep against wolves and bears and enemies. Bringing it into our day, it's of course protecting us in all of those sorts of things, but also protecting us spiritually. Even from Satan's attacks. Attacks that we have in life, attacks that we have at the hour of death, attacks that we have any time when we are in the shadow lands. The rod. No wonder we can have comfort. Because our great shepherd is with us. And he has the rod, and so any of our enemies will not prosper. But you know, the rod was used for something else, not just for defense and for protection. The rod was also used for counting the sheep. Do you want to be counted? Do you want to know that God has made a counting of you and that He would miss you if you have gone astray? In Leviticus 27 and verse 32, we see the rod as a device here. Every tithe of the herds and the flock, every tenth animal. How do we know it's tenth? Because we've counted them. Under the herdsman's staff, a rod was counted. You know what this means? You better be thankful that God has counted you with his rod, because it means that nobody has lost. Nobody is left behind. And think about it. Even in the ancient world, you know, there's a pretty big flock there. Maybe you have 100, maybe you have 200 sheep. Do you really know when you bring them into the evening there, do you really know that you've got every single one of them in? Well, you do if you've counted them. And that's what the shepherd does with the rod. And if you had 200 and there's only 199, he knows he's got to go out and look for the other one. And it's an expansive area. They're out there on the hillside. Well, you know, okay, let's say you have a small flock. Let's say you only have 25 sheep, but it's an expansive area there. Can you just look out there and see, oh, all 25 are there? No. You know that they're there because they've been counted. Being counted is important. And the shepherd counts with the rod. Nobody lost. Nobody left behind. Back in Psalm 23 and verse 4, the shepherd's rod is our comfort, but so is his staff. His staff and that thing with the crook on the end there. That's so that the sheep could see where he is. Up, he's up ahead. There he is. It's got that hook so that when you go astray, when you go near a ravine or you go into some waters that are too deep, he will pull you out. His staff is there to guide you, to direct you, and to rescue you. This rod and this staff, furthermore, should be viewed as extensions of himself. They are not disassociated from him. Thy rod and thy staff is connected to who he is. Those tools are his. They're in his hand, at his disposal, for you. There are many of you here today who perhaps are not in shadow lands of any sort. You're not in shadow lands today. But you will be. You will be. And so know this. For those of you who are not in the flock, without this shepherd, you are lost. You are lost. And you are in need of being rescued. You know this promise, for thou art with me. This promise is for his sheep and for his sheep alone. And so our final charge is come to Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Come to Jesus. Just like we saw in Acts in chapter 2 where what must I do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will be saved. For the promise is to you and to your household. And when you come to Jesus, when you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, those opening lines of Psalm 23, then everything about Psalm 23 is yours. We only did a tiny little slice of it today. Everything about Psalm 23 is yours. You get all of it because you have the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us and for this simple review here about your rod and your staff. And even more so for this simple review here about the fact that you are with us. You are with me. Even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We thank you. We praise you for this goodness. Help us to receive you and with great joy receive all of the promises that are ours, that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, even those as we find them in Psalm 23. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.